In commercial theory, it was conceived by Freud for the contrary of the Bethlehem in 1948. The aim was to make communications more efficient and fair order of the Bethlehem company, more money. The quantum theory and relativity theory, of course, the story. But what I want to show is that these three disciplines are exactly tied to each other. One can study each one separately, but if one wants to combine two of them, then the third one automatically appears. And this is what makes this subject interesting. I did something personal. My senior supervisor was Nathan Rosa, you know, the R of EPR. This article is constructed in a logical way. I mean, maybe the premises are wrong, but this is entirely logical. But there is an error in that article. It was written actually in 1935. And Shannon did his work in 1948, so that can be forgiven. Einstein wanted reality to be localized, but did not realize that information was also to be localized. And this is a logical error in that paper. So let us not go on. But the theory of relativity is related to the description of phenomena by observers who are in relative motion. For example, you may see here Ellis, the world line of Ellis, as the world line of Bob. I apologize for this old fashioned pointer. It doesn't take any electricity, it's
very I have a big one if you want to point to the screen.
There are two issues that are also related by A and B, and we should not have done that, because A and B are observed by S and Bob, both of them. So it's definitely different characters, but it's too late. And from the point of view of Alice, event A occurs before event B, because this is the line of I'm equal to 0 for Alice, and so A occurs negative time, you get a positive time, A equals B. From the point of view of Mark, it does the opposite. And so each one of them writes the whole story of the events. And the series of activity tells us how to relate to these two stories. I use for story, not a history, for history has been a different kind of meaning. So, as an example, suppose that Alice and Bob, each one of them has a particle of spin 1/2 in a single state, so particles are entangled. Now, quantum theory is coming in. And Alice measures the component increasing Canada. The component of Z of spin, and she finds plus 1/2. And as soon as she has done that, Alice knows that if Bob measures, or has measured, or will measure, that component of his spin, you will find -1/2. And then one can raise the question, when does Bob's aperture require this value of spin, -1/2? And there will be two answers to this question. The first answer is, the question is units. the fortune is impossible to contest, so it is. Overall, the question is meaningless for an answer proof. And the answer requires a level of skill instantaneously. But what do you mean instantaneously? So what do you mean to say that this law has no meaning? But in which law is faith does this value obtain instantaneously? And the answer is that it is obtained instantaneously in the Lorentz frame that we choose to tell the story. Because a Lorentz frame is not a physical object. The Lorentz frame is only in our imagination. I apologize for being a bit arrogant. I cannot do otherwise. But anyway, it's my nature. But I cannot be really like this. So, many of these paradoxes, so-called paradoxes, are not nothing to do with quantum theory. They also appear in classical statistical mechanics. For example, suppose that at the beginning there's not a symmetric but a bomb, a spherically symmetric crest, and the bomb explodes into two fragments with random angular momenta. So anything is random, so the state is described by a Hubian function. The Hubian function is isotropic, but it has internal correlations because of conservation of angular momentum. Alice measures the angular momentum of her fragments, and as soon as she has measured our fragment, then the Hubian function collapses. And it requires a precise value of the angular momentum. So there's nothing curious or mysterious about that. It's collapsed. Because everyone knows that the function refers to an ensemble of identical populations. And likewise, you are.
Can I make a comment?
Please.
I feel wrong some of the ice side being the rolling where the orbit it would not be happening in the same spontaneous action from the research base of the protections.
I come to some more details, okay? I'm going to discuss this in length. So, likewise, the wave function of the event of psi describes an ensemble of identical iterations. I mean, the quantum state does not refer to any particular system. Some of the topics I want to discuss. This transparency was made by Dan Terno some time ago. Then he knows everything, nearly everything, better than me, in particular to make transparency. What I'm going to discuss is the basis of quantum information tools, magnetic state transformations for massive particles, photons, and the formalism of quantum mechanics. And I start with the last topic, the formalism of quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanics, as I define it, is a set of tools for computing the occurrence of definite macroscopic events that we call observations in tests we follow definite macroscopic preparations. So many people are not happy with this kind of definition. They would like to have quantum mechanics as an objective description of what happens in nature. Everyone is seeming quite to do this using only his imagination and at his own risk. Now, in the mathematical formalism, the separation is described by what we call state role, the positive matrix, I'm using one international infrastructure in my brain. Positive matrix is a matrix which has all eigenvalues are positive or zero. There's no negative eigenvalues. Not to be confused with non-negative matrix, which is something totally different. The detectors are represented also by positive matrices that carry a sub mu. The label mu is simply a label, it's the name of the computer, the label is the name of the computer number mu. And it follows, well, not directly, it follows from recent theory in 1967 that the probability that the detector with the label mu be excited is given by a trace of the product of these two labels. Then, what we call the quantum measurement actually is the interface of the quantum world and the classical world. To be precise, there are no quantum systems and classical systems, as you sometimes may read. There are the physical systems, which we describe as a good approximation by using classical language or a quantum language. This is not what was not my idea. This is what was written very clearly by Niels Bohr in 1927. And let me add more than not like that, that physics is not an exact science. It is a science of approximations. And what we call a quantum measurement is a classical intervention in the quantum system. And these interventions have input parameters and output parameters. Input parameters are the coordinates, speed, and different apparatus. I mean, where this happens, how this apparatus was moving, and the other set of parameters that are controlled by classical information comes from the past life form, and all information chosen arbitrarily by the observer. So, for example, the strength of the magnetic field, or the strength of an average pulse, or the laser power. All these parameters are specified classically. As this goes on, we must explain what we have done. Okay? The information was explicit in the writings of this law. And then there are the output parameters. This is what we call the outcome of the so-called quantum measurement. And the output can be sent into the future light cone. And then it can change the physical environment, for example, it can indicate how to perform additional interventions. Now, in a relativistic regime, one can have only one detector for space and time, because when we talk about measurement, we have to specify why it was done, and there are several detectors at different points, then the order may change. So there is one detector for space and time, and there are only two possible outcomes, detector fire or did not fire. And what is important is that the absence of a detection is also an event. The quantum state must change because of chemicality. Sometimes you read in the literature about interaction-free measurements. There are no interaction-free measurements. There are more factory action from measurements, but they're easing out some more. and then the interventions, our interventions are localized, more or less. But the quantum system is pervasive. It is everywhere. In each experiment, there is one quantum system, which is spread throughout the whole of space-time. And that quantum system may have subsystems that are deleted or created or annihilated or in each intervention. The subsystems come and go. They are not permanent. As I shall show and outline the proof, the result of the interventions are represented by completely positive maps, this equation, which is not usually not phase preserving. But if we normalize the initial role to unit place, then the trace of this right hand side is a probability of getting outcome number mu in the experiment. It is convenient not to normalize this. There's no reason to normalize this convenient to unit unnormalized. But each one of these symbols, A sub mu m, is a matrix, not a matrix element. Each one of them is an entire matrix. It's like a row is a matrix, and these matrices are in general rectangular. The order, the dimension of the new system may depend on the outcome view. It can be different for different outcomes. I briefly outline the proof for this equation. There are several steps in this intervention. There is what I call a pre-measurement. The initial state consists of the system as a system and an apparatus, and one chooses a new complete basis for the composite system. This inverted mathematical transformation. This matrix here is a unitary matrix, that is, mu value is equal to 1. And our freedom of choosing any unitary matrix here is equivalent to the freedom of choosing the Hamiltonian of interaction with the Fermionian formalism. Now I do something which is in itself an approximation. I sort out the basis, lambda, for this composite system into subspaces which are labeled by mu. Mu will refer to the result of the measurement that we do. And then I have within each subspace disks. And these are the space that these the macroscopic subspaces cannot be isolated from the unknown environment. And the environment, the good environment, are all degrees of freedom that are not represented here. This includes internal degrees of freedom of the apparatus that we don't describe. For example, the macroscopic subspace can be a pointer between this or that, and you cannot isolate the molecules of air from the position of the point. So it is this system which disturbs the environment, not the environment which disturbs the system. It's completely different. There are microscopic variables, the other variables which are not in peace with the system, which I assume are completely isolated from the environment. Well, he died and told me two different types of violence with a person approved by settlement of finish. Then the next step is the coupling to the environment. This is the basis for the environment, and as I told you, the environment are all the variables that are not described previously, but in the internal parts of the system. And these variables evolve unitarily because of the interaction, and they initiate the different ways for each value of mu does not depend on what I multiply by the side. And then the proof is very complicated. It is what the experts call chaotic, and it can be shown that skipping things that this equation here, or this is not exactly delta mu, which is delta mu plus c that are very, very small in comparison to 1. And again, a simple case, the result of this evolution is that what was initially pure state after I trace out the environment becomes a mixture of pure states. Each one of these is again a pure state, but they have random phases, and the norms of this vector is just the probability to get an inside view. Now, this phenomenon, this process, is what we call decoherence, and I must insist, decoherence is not the same thing as noise. Decoherence, noise is a classical phenomenon. Decoherence is a purely quantum phenomenon. The noise would occur if the apparatus is affected by the environment. It is not what I wrote here, but the environment which is affected by the apparatus. And the noise would be a connection between different values of mu, but mu is constant for this process. So we forget this fundamental and come to the end. Okay. Then the third phase, which is important, is the deletion of subsystems. And as I told you, systems come and go. one can delete the apparatus if one is not interested in it. This is what appears from learning communism. But not necessarily one can delete other things. Anything now is just one large system. You can delete any part you wish. So the whole basis, which was written in this way, becomes a tension product of basis. This is for the new system, and this is for the product of being related to Newton. And there is a proxy matrices which appears in some people call them Spanish springs, depending on the method of religion. The Couch matrices written here in full are just these matrix elements of the pre-measurement interaction that are interested in new for the subfunction for the complete subsystem, similar for the new system, for the quantum system. So we have defined what these are. And it is interesting to consider this sum. This sum is just what I called before the insert view, the POVN, and the unitarity of sum is equal to 1. Just a remark, I did not introduce in all the discussion the famous Ancilla. Ancilla is the Latin word for argument. This method was adding to the system an auxiliary system and then measuring the auxiliary system was used in the initial course by Neumann, by Hellstrom, but there are no such things in real life. you. Now I have to return to the stories that they are told by, that were told by Ellis and Moore. So this is, Ellis, which was used by Bob, how do we convert all these things from one system to another? There is no unitary transformation that can be had. But this you can see very easily, because this is the story which is told by Ellis. The preparation that went A, went B, and these are the equal time lines for Ellis. And so from here to here, the unitary evolution, here there is this completely positive map, and again from here to here, the unitary evolution, and another unitary completely positive map, and again unitary evolution. Now, the story which is told by Bob is exactly the same, except for the order. There is the unitary evolution from here to here, and here again a completely positive map, which is given by again a completely positive map, and again a unitary evolution, and again a completely positive map again. But as you see, these represent different steps of space-time, and therefore there cannot be any lower transformation between these two frames. So how can we show that the whole formula is worse than that? So again, I have these two things, but what I do now is I take, for example, the description which is given by Ellis, and I rotate the formula Lorentz transformation, whose Lorentz transformation to the story told by Bob. And then, nothing peculiar happens as long as the order of events is not described. Well, if you do not have the order of the events, then we have a unitary transformation. And this is true up to some point here, where the event by Ellis is just before the event, the event A is just before event B. Also, it has the same, starting from the lowest frame of time and change the lowest frame from unitarity until event B is just before event A. But what happens when we have to rotate through these two events? The interesting thing is that nothing at all happens at all. Let me maybe I speak I mean very quickly the mathematical description that we can say this is a new event B, this is a new. So this is the completely positive map, and in the time from the system event B first the system event positive map. And you see all these matrices in two different ways, and some of the matrices are Lorentz transformed on each other. For example, this was this was that, and this was that. But some are not. So there is the red slab and the blue slab. For example, these two matrices which are the different slabs are not Lorentz transformed on each other. So the question is, therefore, the elements here are not Lorentz transformed of each other. How can the complete thing be a copy of the Lorentz transformation? As I told you, we perform a continuous Lorentz transformation, and we get this in case. Ellis sees event A just before event B, and Bob sees event B just before event A. And how are these two things related to each other? Well, they are completely trivial now, because nothing at all happens in this narrow thread. It is entirely narrow, and there's no time for anything to happen. Therefore, these two matrices, not only are equivalence transforms of each other, but they are happening trivially before the identity matrix. And the consistency that the final result is the same is obtained by requiring that in the Lorentz frame where both events are simultaneous, this matrix falls, or we can simply say that the shift matrices have to commute. And this is very much like in quantum field theory, and this equation is always satisfied by localizing matrices. So there is no problem with Lorentz invariance of the transformism of the classical intervention in quantum systems. Then our practical questions. Can this be used for supercomputer communication? Some years ago there were projects that were funded by to communicate with submarines and so people lost some money for that. The quantum system, quantum systems are not localized, and the velocity is not defined. So the question is, if Edison bomb have space-like separation, can an intervention performed by Edison affect the probabilities of events observed by bomb? Then we can do the calculation. Alice observes the probability for events mu, and then observes the mu probability, then the expression is the languages, is probability that Alice observes mu and then observes mu, the computing probability that we sum of those orders are taken by Alice, and then we approve the probability that Bob observes. But these two matrices commute, and these two matrices commute, so let us switch the order. And then this matrix is the trace. We can bring this matrix from the first to the last position, and to recognize here our old friend, the QGL element, which is new, and the sum of these is equal to 1, the sum of probabilities is equal to 1, and of course this is the final result, and as you see, the final result for the probability that Bob observes event mu is independent of what Ennis has done or not done. We have the problem of incoherence, and what happens in the relativity of incoherence, the observers teach to see here. Each observer gets information only from his or her past life code. And so each observer can have knowledge of only part of what happens in space-time. And we can see that the world consists for each one of two parts. One is of the scattering space world, and the other has no distinction. It is excluded from the discussion. And in relativity, everything which is outside the past by cone is excluded, which means that different observers exclude different parts of the world. And they have no usually open sign for danger on the road. And the different observers have different systems. So, obviously, there cannot be any governance competition between these functional systems. Now, again, this is not something which is peculiar to quantum theory. We are assuming that exactly where we came in the classical model. You suppose that you have here two masses moving on a segment. So because these are the orbits of these particles, and they have the same momentum plus minus speed, and therefore they have the same energy. And so this would be a new deal distribution in the energy plane. And now the next step is that each particle gets a pitch, a chain, and it's like some random time. And so the momentum that was plus minus p becomes k plus minus p, and the energy becomes the expression which is given here. But for this, roughly, the left particle was the first one to be kicked. And for Paul, in this plane, the right particle was the first one to be kicked. And therefore, the moving distribution of energies including by Alice in this way for her she has two different energies, she has one as long as she's very opposite, and then obviously there cannot be any Lorentz transformation between these two moving distribution. So the problem is just a problem of relativistic problematics that nothing to do with quantum theory. The problem then goes to everything better than me, so this is in description of the same events. We can have a simpler open system with a spin of a single free particle of spin J, really the basis for the space and momentum in space, really the description of a pure state. And the Lorentz transformation that was given by the Wigner and Wigner's particle in 1939, this is the transformation matrix. And what you see here, the chemical lambda, is the classical Lorentz transformation matrix, and the spin matrix is rotated in this way, and this is an angle, but the angle of rotation of spin, the angle depends on the pin. So as you see, the spin is not an autonomous variable. One knows how to transform the spin only if we know the momentum. Actually, to be clear, historically, the Wigner rotation was discovered for World War II, or old enough to remember the things. And the spin rotation, and all the things, was discovered by Thomas in 1927. This is a picture I like of Thomas, actually, of course. What happened is that in 1925, Ruben Beck and Huswitz were students in the Netherlands, invented the notion of spin to explain things in spectroscopy, and in 1926, Pauli used that for his exclusion principle. Thomas asked, what can be the relativistic transformation doing for spin? And he obtained what's called the way completely different from Wigner, the Thomas precession. We can try to find reduced density matrices for spin. These are two states, and we can it's really the same thing. From the pure state, we can trace out those methods and the humans to make about spin. And if you do that, we find that the spin entropy is not in the balance under normal transformations. There are no covariant transformation laws for the quantum system. But these are evidence in the journal paper. I remember I sent that to PRL, and one of the members of the Republican board answered to me, "Don't you know that one can use a list theory presentation and so on? Maybe it's not known to be important in information theory." And I answered, "Well, this is of course well known to us, but the particle physicists, the initial particle physicists, are interested in asymptotic properties in outmatrix levels. And therefore, they are interested in pure momentum states, their cross sections and all that. But the electron normally is not in a pure momentum state. If you have an electron colliding with a particle, then its momentum after the collision goes in all directions. And therefore we need something like that." I was sent to see electrons to this excellent paper. So it was published very quickly actually. So I have a final question. How do we implement these pure events experimentally? Here the answer is that quantum mechanics does not tell you how to perform experiments, just as thermodynamics doesn't tell you how to build a steam engine, and Maxwell equations don't tell you how to make an electrical engine or how to fill an electric. What they tell you is how to analyze the experimental facts in the correct way. How to design an experiment. So this is where we are today, and thank you very much for your patience.
It seems to me that when we try to explain what inside of the space, it's a physical system, we can explain this to show that this is a physical. If you expect yourself to speak about things more, then it's best maybe not to try to describe it. Which is what you suggested to me. Don't you just say, give up and say, quantum excitement is a huge part of the phenomenon. Don't try to understand it.
The chairman told me that I have only finished my presentation. We have very long stories about thermal energy, about black holes. There are information just pulling into the black hole and things like that. And this will appear in a paper in the middle of modern physics that we wrote, a very long paper, which in fact yesterday we just got here in copyright rights for the sun. And this, there's plenty of things to be told. There are many things in general relativity which do not. General relativity is not generalization of special relativity, as you should know. it is a neutral field, and well, it is necessary for computation. We have studied also, we have studied what happens in the response of the theory. We, for example, there is a kind of trade-off between the localization of the detectors, and the occurrence of dark counts and the missing some information. This is such a whole factor.
Property. Let me just make a wide statement. As soon as you're going to change your alternative from one to another, you need to contradict it. Because you're saying that the French say the MP occurs in tennis, which is true of every frame of reference. This is the contradiction of the world. This is part of what I said Einstein. So one was really saying that it's impure, the wave function is already.
Well,
in other words, don't introduce processes of space-time. This guy told us earlier, it's a pure positive value.
Yes.
There's a lot of people still don't like, including myself. You know, I mean, that's the way the world is.
Well, right. You don't need a space-time as future positive value. It can be useful, not to have a problem and handle it. It's a resource for communication, and so on.
Yes, if you argue that in a relativistic space time, different observers see different systems for their past life models, and you should then conclude from that, which some people conclude also in quantum gravity, that it would make no sense to talk about the quantum state of the whole universe, because it's not quite so
of course, that it is a completely meaningless expression.
Good, so how can you use quantum psychology?
How can you describe the state of the spirit? When you see how solid state physics is kind of squared, we can see them as acting it has a few variables, the current, the voltage, the magnetic field, and that's it. So we have this kind of squared, and all the rest is the structure of the rock. But they can do useful things with very harsh restrictions. You don't describe the quantum state of the universe, no problem. You have a few degrees of freedom, the total mass, the total amount of radiation, the density, and all. And you don't even discard all the other variables. So you have just a very powerful description which can be useful. Now, of course, maybe you say that we have only one universe, but I shall say likewise. We have only one squid in my laboratory. So it is much easier to manipulate the squid than to manipulate the planet. As a matter of principle, there is no difference. It is a good question. You cannot be satisfied by my answer. It's not that an answer is to be stuck.
I can tell you an additional story without anything to this question in the review and what this planet is living.
In quantum field theory, we usually consider measurements of observables which are tied to space-time regions and not just to space-time points. Your measurement theory was very tied to space-time.
Yes,
in that case, then there are situations where you can violate relativistic rules. If you don't restrict the things that you're allowed to, that you can measure, then that you say you can measure, you can set up situations where you can violate relativistic causality, and that's been shown by Raphael and Daniel and Frostman.
What do you mean by violate?
I mean I mean, the Bohm superluminal signal, I mean, signal superluminal between Alice and Bohm. And that the situation in which this is possible is where you have three space-time regions that you're considering. You only have two, but so you have your A and B, but then you have a third region C, which is to the, roughly speaking, to the future of A and to the past of B. And if you do, if you allow yourself unrestricted measurements of, to do with your space-time field in that region C, you can signal between space-like Alice and space-like Bohm.
So I have seen claims that I've heard, I said many years ago by Heckerfeld, and but I don't think that this is correct. Okay, I would like to see a, I would like to see an example and see what are the what assumptions that are used.
Maybe
later we can do
something. Whole section, we should start from setting example Rafa and then discussing the unrestricted assumption of feasibility of all possible POVM and deep related buildings to buildings. And actually, our main source, our first source, are Rafa's paper and then work for the rest of the books. So, yes, it's important consideration and we devoted some time to it. Simply impossible to squeeze everything in the presentation.
No, I need a complete course in Mandela's
one last question.
Soon after Einstein came up with special relativity, there were considerations of himself applying to apply relativity to thermodynamics, and to say how thermodynamical quantities transform when you move from one frame to another. That reminds me a little bit of your considerations in the sense that I think they were working how heat transforms and temperature, and I know there's a lot